Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus is asking the gay person to change and be straight. We're living in exciting times, and there's lots of stuff that we could do to figure out exactly what it is that this thing that we call the last days is all about. Now, we have 2,000 years of Christianity behind us, and we have a lot of scripture that we like to hear and read about and gather information on as we go to church and we listen to our pastors tell us a thing or two about the Bible and we amen them and stuff like that. But there's something that is really important that's got to somehow sink in, and this is, you are not yesterday's Christian. Did you hear me? You are not the first century Christian. You know, the Christians that were actually there and actually saw Jesus, you're not part of the apostles that were there. They died already. They saw Jesus, and Jesus died, and then they went about turning the world upside down. And then, basically, Christianity was underway. And guess what? No matter what anybody believed in those days, it was going to be at least 2,000 years before Jesus would return. Well, we've come that 2,000 years. So the past 2,000 years, Christians have been living in such a manner, at some point, thinking Jesus is going to return at any moment. It seems like that's been pretty key in all of Christianity, is the expectation that Jesus would return at any time. And today we're kind of doing the same thing, the expectation that Jesus will return at any time. But there's something that is different than the past 2,000 years. There's some things that are set already that never was set before. And so people had to do a workaround to try to get the idea that Jesus could return in their day. But the thinking of Jesus is going to return in your day or in their day, there's got to be an understanding about what this actually means. Because what happens is, if you really are a Christian in the days that Jesus is going to return, then you're a last days church. That means you're going to be alive and be in the rapture. Now, if you die with your faith in Jesus Christ, then you're about the same as any other Christian that's ever died before, because you die and you go through that procedure to get whatever happens so that you go into that place that you're going to wait so that you can rise first, and then we which are alive and remain can be caught up with you and meet Jesus in the air. That kind of a process is sort of still like it's always been for the past 2,000 years. The problem is, though, that once Israel became a nation, a clock started. The date that it was recognized. Now, people are a little controversial on when do they want to set that date. Some people want to set it when Jerusalem became part of Israel again, or become under the control of Israel, which I guess is 67. But the Bible indicates that it would have to be 1948. And so you have how long a human being lives. Because, you know, we could play the game of what is a Bible generation. Because it says this generation won't pass away. And it's all in the wording and how we like to play with words and everything. And much of it doesn't matter a whole lot because it's really going to be hard to actually set a time. There has to be certain clocks set. When Israel became a nation, a clock was set and started ticking. So it doesn't matter what your generations are, you always have the absolute generation, which would be whoever was born on the day that Israel became a nation. Of all of those that were born on that day, there will be somebody still left alive. So how long can a person live? Well, if they keep advancing in the medical field, we may actually add a few more years onto us, and maybe we can actually get to the 120-year mark easier. But right now, we're hard-pressed to get into the hundreds. There's lots of 100-year-olds, but once you get in into that 100 to 110, boy, man, they just start falling off really quickly until when you get up to that 110 part, you don't have a whole lot of people left over. Generally speaking, you would be relatively safe to use the 100-year lifespan because there's going to be plenty of 100-year-olders around in the world still alive at 100 years old. So that would mean that you could say a good ballpark figure for the last possible moment that Jesus could come back would be 2048. Then from there, you have to deal with how long the average went up then, and who's actually going beyond that and living the extra few years. So you could stretch that out probably another 10 years. So that could be 2058. And it's a hard thing to make an absolute in the predicting dates or something like that. So what we're dealing with here is how does God behave, and the events that take place, and can the events that are taking place be stretched out to 2048? Which seems pretty hard. It seems like if we get to 2048, of course, we always try to say what this far in advance would be, and we're usually pretty wrong. But you would think we would get over our problems in the world crisis, because the kind of crisis the world is in today has to get into a resolved part. And usually these things take a couple of decades or so. We can go back into history and find out when tyranny rules, generally how long a period of tyranny exists in the world as it was before some modifications come. And in these days and age, we've had a couple of things in our modern version of stuff. We had World War I and World War II, and now we're sort of World War III each like stuff. And so we could see how long things sort of last before some kind of change happens. And there can always be exceptions. But so by 2048, there's got to be some resolution to the crisis that we experience today. We're already well long into this Iraq thing. And so we've got to be coming up towards a conclusion. In World War II, when the U.S. got involved, when you think about it, it's not very long. We're already up there in Iraq pretty easy at the length of time. So Iraq is actually lasting longer than our involvement in World War II. So, but a resolution will happen of some sort. We're fed up with it. Bush is going to be out. Somebody else is going to be in, and the determination seems to be we're going to get out of that mess one way or the other. Of course, we got to. So this means under ordinary circumstances, if we're going to wait to 48 for Jesus to return. That means this involvement of crisis we have today has to work itself out in a general, normal time span. You know, who cares how long, 10 years or so, 15 years more, if that was the case. But you're still a long ways from the 2048. And then what do you got to do? Because now we're starting to really get closer to the end of the generation. What kind of crisis can start up in those days after we resolve the horribleness of these days, our day? So one has to think that this situation of today isn't going to resolve. And a lot of us believe that, that whatever is going on today is going to escalate into what we call Antichrist Kingdom, which is a 7-year period of time we call the tribulation. So a tribulation scenario, it's really hard to imagine. It can happen, anything can happen in time, but it's hard to imagine it would happen at the end of the generation. Because that's not how things work. So if we look and watch God's process, we can see, generally speaking, that what's going on today that's making this world conflict situation, if it got resolved, then what are you going to do? You could go ahead and develop the technology that would really work, but you have nobody mad at each other as such to develop a one world government as such. However, we're in a situation that, you know, something seems awfully wrong with this thing, you know, like, there was a conclusion to World War I and World War II. The end was sort of in sight. We had somebody to fight, as it were. We had locations to fight them. And once we cleaned the location, you didn't have to worry too much about the enemy hiding away and coming back. Because the enemy was all an army controlled over here, and their brigades and so forth, and platoons, and so you pull them back and they're over here, and then you surrender, and it's all over with. We don't got that kind of thing today. We're not fighting against a nation, as it were, but I want to first get one thing understood. This thing about the terrorists, this thing about all we hear in the news today, we are not fighting these people. It is a manipulation by the elite to get two forces together to fight. It looks like you've got a good and evil. Depends what side you're on to decide which one's good. If you're on their side, then you're thinking their side is good. If you're on the other side, that side's going to think that the other side's the evil one, and so forth. But wars are not as they appear. Wars are goals of the elite. A person named Albert Pike said, we need 3 world wars to bring us into a possible one world government, which we are seeking. And this, I'm talking about Masons of the higher levels, 33rd degree. And remember, if you're a 33rd degree Mason, does not mean that you're in the loop. 33rd degree Mason is usually talked of the highest level. Well, there's 2 sorts of masonry. You got the York Rite and the Scottish Rite, and their levels are a little bit different. One of them is maybe half that, like level 15 or something, or you know. Generally speaking, though, the thing we hear about is the 33 levels. Some 33rd levels are going to be in pretty good shape, that a lot of 33rd degree levels are just ponds. But you have to be at least a 33rd degree level, because when once you're a 33rd degree level, you know your enemy completely, and you're entrenched in God is the enemy. And you also know that Lucifer is the God that you're going to be worshiping, and he's the true God. He's the God, the good God, as it were, and God, the Father of Jesus Christ, is the evil God. And when we look at Bush, and we say, oh, look, at he says he's a born-again Christian, oh, he's a Christian and all that, lots of people would die for him in the process of supporting him in his claim that he's a Christian. Well, you cannot be a Christian if you are a 33rd degree Mason. People, you can't. It is not possible. Because a 33rd degree Mason has to believe that Lucifer never fell. And that God of the Bible is the dark God. It is so amazing that so many people that really, we like to call them the religious light, right? And you know, some people call them rednecks and stuff like that and all that. The whole purpose and the point is they're supposed to be, by claim of being in this, as it were, religious right, to be extremely religious in the sense of they really do think that they are really obeying God and doing the things of God. It doesn't matter if they're wrong or whatever in other people's view. What matters is they're supposedly thinking that they are so much the Bible is the Word of God. I believe this too, you know. And any of those kind of types of religious right people thinking that other people do not believe the Bible's is the Word of God as much as they believe it. They're just missing truth. Another thing, claiming to love truth, and truth around them they reject. Christians love to support 33rd degree Masons. It's really, you know, if you dare tell somebody that Bush is a 33rd degree Mason, which means that he worships Satan, but by the name of Lucifer, because the idea is Lucifer did not fall, you know. We Christians say Lucifer fell and now his name is Satan. The 33rd degree Masons don't think he fell, so he's still the morning star. He's still Lucifer. It seems like it would be the most simplest kind of thing for Christians to do, is to look and say, if you're 33rd, I don't care what kind of information, if there is God's information out of there, and he admits it himself. You know, we had documentaries on here, and they even pulled out his book and showed that he was in the Skull and Bones. Well, there's so much information. And yet, so many people that call themselves Christians still want to say, Masons don't really mean anything, just a group of wonderful old men getting together and just having good old conversation about things. People, 33rd degree Masons are people that believe that Lucifer didn't fall. People like Billy Graham, 33rd degree Mason. Did I make it up? No, you do this kind of thing. You could find places that says their ministry organizations deny this. At a certain point in time, you can look it up, you could see his name on Mason registries. And after it got publicly known a little bit, it was conveniently erased so that his name wouldn't show up. or it would be harder to do research on the internet to find his name on there. But he did activities in his entire lifetime that can be tracked. And so you could find out who 33rd degree Masons are. And so you, as a Christian, should know that you don't give this wonderful classification as born-again believer to a 33rd degree Mason. You can't! 33rd degree Masons can accept Jesus Christ. And many do. And many go on to give their testimony and write books and stuff about what's going on in the masonry. So when you see the, as they like to say, religious light, right? You, in campaigns, we're seeing it now. You've got Democrats actually trying to get a hold of these religious right. Because they're a big enough number or something that if they can get their vote, they can win. So we got two groups here after the religious right, so that they can maybe win. So this group they're after, all they want is here the morality thing. You know, they want to say, oh, this president is against gays. That's a good point. We could vote for him. He claims to be a Christian. Democrats can't be Christian, so only Republicans become Christian. So the religious right says that's what they're... You know, I've seen the petitions. I've been going to church a little while. See, I don't got much hair here, and this stuff isn't very as it used to be. It's kind of grayish, kind of. Been around the block. I know what happens when it comes to election years. Out comes the list. And you know they have four or five major issues. And you know what one always is? Gay. What is their stand on gays? Then you have the other side that is more like pro-gays or something, and they would go by, you know, hey, vote Democrat or something like that, and they list up things, they put the Republican candidate list on there too. They refuse the interview, refuse the interview, refuse the interview, and so forth. But the Democrats, their degrees of support of gays and so forth like that. So it's kind of funny how, if you don't even deal with the part that gay is sin or not, what you're dealing with is Christians are selecting people based on some sort of thing that has, and the person that they're selecting is 33rd degree Mason. There hasn't been presidents that have not been the 33rd degree Mason. I think there's one or two maybe in all of the history of the United States. So people, last days Christian is somebody that's going to be in this generation, and the events of the world today is going to expand, because you needed to get into the one world government. And we hear that instead of stuff getting better, it gets worse in the Middle East and stuff like that. So something's going to happen that's different. And I'll go into it a little bit more next week concerning last days Christians. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. I believe God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Bible. All other versions are Satan counterfeits. Ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. See you next week. See you next week.